Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
It's good to see all of y'all here today. I want to just tell y'all, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you, and just your love and your support. It means the world to me, and I'm just grateful today. That's been the word of 2026 for me, is grateful. I'm grateful. So I do want to just start with a little bit of a promo about the mission trip to Colombia, and the information should be at the top of your handout. We'll see. Let me see what I put there. Yes, it's all there. So we are taking a mission trip to Colombia, and we're having a meeting directly after service, like Carrie said.
Hi, my name is Megan Paulin. I wanted to create this video to share my experience on a missions trip I went to Medellin, Colombia. We were there for about a week. We partnered with Tom and Jen Atwater. They are missionaries there and run the 9/11 ministries there. We got to minister to a lot of people. We got to minister to a group of young ladies who have been abused. We also went to a school and give out food and supplies to families, and as the
So Megan was on a mission trip that I went on last month to Guatemala, and she had been on this exact mission trip to Medellin, Colombia. And it's to minister to those that are at risk of human trafficking, including their children. It includes teaching children, teaching English to young adults, ministering house to house, ministering in the streets, ministering to the women that are part of this home that they have. And so it's really for anybody. I wanted a trip that I didn't have to handpick who could go, but anybody could sign up. So I want to invite you to sign up. I do want to say one thing. It's not just a mission trip. I can share the agenda with you. It is a mission trip and a training school. It is a missions training school. Every morning we are in school. Every morning we are being taught. And then they pray over us, and there's impartation. And then they send us out to do what we've learned how to do in the morning. So it is a missions training school and a mission trip. So we learn in the morning, we do in the afternoon. So we will have a brief meeting after church. The cost is about $1,800 to $2,000. And the deposit is due late August. But even if you're just interested, just let me know. And I do have some scholarship funds to help defray that cost. So don't let money be an obstacle for you. So with that said, I do want to share some photos from my recent trip to Guatemala. Thank you. So I went with a ministry out of Florida. I actually saw them on the Global Awakening Facebook page. I saw this post by Pastor Tim Severino of Arise Church in Fort Myers, Florida, and it was a video of a church service in Guatemala, and my heart says, I want to go there. I want to go there. And so 2 years ago, I reached out to him on Facebook Messenger and said, hey, I want to know about your future trips to Guatemala. And so I was able to go. Can we go back all the way to, like, start at photo one? Should be number one. I just want to start at the beginning. Is that number one? Okay. So I just want to show you a little bit about, this is, they set up street vending just on the corner. This is just the corner, and somebody's out here working. Okay, next slide, please. And here they are. The city that we were in, which is called Salcaha, they're known for making fabrics. So probably two-thirds of the shops in this city were either, like, thread for making fabric or the fabrics themselves. It was all about the fabric for their traditional dress. Okay, next slide, please. This is probably my favorite. Two women in traditional Guatemalan dress, and the one of them's carrying, it's probably something for making floral arrangements. I saw a lot of people carrying flowers on their heads. Okay, next slide, please. There's me in my 6-foot by 8-foot room. And most of the week, the suitcase that you see on the floor was on my bed, because once the suitcase was on the floor, I had about 8 inches to walk in. So I knew I couldn't do that all week, so I slept with the suitcase on my bed because the room was that small. Next slide, please. This is a young girl that had Guillain-Barré. She had been bedridden for 2 months, and that is her sitting up. On her own power, on her own volition. And when we first got there, we had to take turns holding her back up because she had no strength. But we saw God do this. And this is in a one large bedroom with 3 queen beds. So you can imagine living in a house like that, sharing a room with 6 people. Okay, next slide, please. So this is our team and some of our translators. We always had translators. And also the trip to Colombia. Don't let not speak each. No, let's see, how would I say that in Spanish? La habilidad de hablar en español no es necesario. The ability to speak Spanish is not necessary to go to Colombia. There are translators. So that's our team with our translators. Next slide, please. And then this was something new. This young man had never seen, okay, my skin is white, a white person before. He had never seen a white person before. And so this is in the mall, and he, like, overheard us talking, and, like, you're from the States? He'd never seen that before, so he thought that was really cool. Next slide, please. And this is in the airport. She had never seen a white or a black person before. So before you know it, we're all together, you know, in the line to get checked into the airport because these people had never seen. So Guatemala was not a place like Costa Rica where a lot of tourists go. It is third world. Okay, next slide, please. This is me hugging a lady at the end of our pastor's conference. And you can see if I'm, you know, over them, they're really small people. And she has on the traditional dress. Okay, next slide, please. And this is Pastora Mercedes. The beautiful thing is I've made connections with a lot of pastors now in Guatemala. And so I'm really grateful for that. Pastor Mercedes wants me to come back next year to do a women's conference, which just sounds even strange, saying wants me. I'm still getting used to that. But we are already talking about when I'm going back with this church to do a women's conference. Next slide, please. And this is Karina. I met her at the pastor's conference, and we really connected. Next slide, please. And this is, this is Kelly Luce and her husband, and they run a ministry much like Battelle Ministries in Spain. It's a recovery ministry, and we had about 25 people come forward for salvation. And these are, like, people off the streets, and some of these people still live on the streets. She showed me a picture of someone that served in their church, and it was the picture of him laying on the street, literally. So they're rescuing people trapped in addiction. Next slide, please. So this was a mount, it's called Cerro, I think it's Cerro Gordo. This is a mountain. It's a beautiful mountain in Guatemala, and people go up the mountain to get to find miracles. They believe that they're going to find their miracle on the mountain, and there's a lot of religion with it too, buying flowers and taking it up the mountain. And so what we did was we rented out a shelter, like you can reserve a shelter at the park. And so for these people that were coming looking for their miracles, we prayed for them. So it was like street ministry, but first we had to hike up the mountain, and that Pastor Mercedes you saw, I like pushed her some up the mountain. I was not prepared for hiking like that, but we had to get up that high. You can see the elevation there, but this was a church that was meeting there. Next slide, please. And then this is us in the shelter praying, and this young lady, her name is Lady Elizabeth, and that's Megan that you saw before. But Lady is one of those that I've connected with, and now I'm Tia Lisa, Aunt Lisa. Okay, next slide, please. And there I am sitting, I'm holding on because I like am not wanting to fall backwards off the mountain. We were careful. Next slide, please. So this church, can you see how hot and disheveled I look? That church, it probably, you know, probably has room for 100 people. There were probably 125 in it. And literally, to do the altar call and to touch, you know, lay hands on people, Pastor Tim walked on the chairs, like just walked on the chairs, and people would pick up the chairs and move them out of the way because there were so many people, and God just did amazing things. So I love that picture because they have the traditional dress on. Okay, next slide, please. And then this is, what was her name? I think her name was Jennifer. God really used me to connect with some young girls who had been abused. And she just clung to me. She was precious. That was the same evening. We went back that evening as well. Next slide, please. Thank you. And then this is before I preached. So I knew I was going to speak at a youth conference. I knew that. I didn't know I was going to preach. But I'm learning to grow and not be so controlling. So they said, hey, can you preach on the fly? Like, give me 5 minutes notice. And so I came ready. I came with my clothing, came ready. And one of our team members was sick. And so the next day I got to preach. And what was funny was I wasn't nervous about preaching. I was nervous because I didn't know the name of the pastor, the name of the church. I didn't have the phone number for the church, and our contact, when we got dropped off on the street, he didn't know where the church was. So we're just walking around, you know, and I have no idea how long I'm supposed to minister. And we got there, and I got put in charge of the prayer meeting, and so, yeah, it took some worship on my knees. Praise the Lord. And then this is me sharing with Gabby. I probably did 99% of it in Spanish, but when I would get stuck on a word, she was there to help. And then this is the altar call, and every person, there were about 30 people there. It was like a million-dollar building, but there were about 30 people, and they all came up for prayer. Next slide, please. So this is one, I'll refer to this picture in my message, but we were asked to wear veils, and I'll explain that in a minute. Next slide, please. Okay, I think I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop at that one. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you so much. So it was hard. Guatemala was hard. But I'm so grateful that I got to go. And God continues. When I go on these trips, I go because I want to serve, but I also go because I want to grow. And I want to learn how to be a better leader. And I want to learn from other leaders. Y también quiero practicar mi español. And I want to practice my Spanish. So the last time I preached, I shared a lot of my testimony, and I want to tell y'all what, that was hard. There are a lot of Monday mornings when I'm just like waiting on Pastor Tom to call me. like, Lisa, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that. But I want to tell you, there were some of you that I went that whole week just wondering, Lord, was it okay what I shared? And then when I walked in the following Sunday morning, three different people came to me and said, yes, it was good what you shared. And so that's why I'm so grateful for y'all, for your encouragement. And today might be the same thing. For pastors, you call it a Blue Monday. The majority of pastors that quit their jobs do it on a Monday after they preach. It's called Blue, they call it Blue Monday. And often when we're honest and vulnerable about things like I'm going to be today, tomorrow might be a hard day. There's probably some chocolate waiting for me this afternoon. But I know that, you know, tomorrow might be a hard day. Pastor Terry, you know what it's like. But I know that within 24 hours, I'll be all right. In 36 hours, I'll be okay. So I just go with it. Sometimes, this is on your handout, sometimes God allows others to see how he sees you or how he plans to use you. There's a typo there. On this trip, Pastor Tim, when he was climbing on top of the chairs, I called that the wild man anointing. I was like, I want the wild man anointing. That's what I want. And I even told Pastor Tim and Eliud, who is Puerto Rican and helps a lot with the logistics. I was like, I want y'all to pray for me because I want that. And they would say, no, you already have that. You already have that. And they would say, you bring the fire. And I'm like, huh, me? Like me? Like, I need y'all to pray for me. They never laid hands and prayed for me. But they said, you've already got it, Lisa. You already have the same Holy Spirit that we have. You already have it. And so God will send people to build us up and encourage us. And sometimes he'll do that through prophetic words. And many of y'all who have been part of this church for a long time, you know what prophetic words are. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks something that's on God's mind through another person to you. Now, we have to be careful with those things because we are, after all, we're flesh. Like, we are human people, and sometimes it doesn't come out exactly in a pure way because we're human. So Scripture tells us how to treat prophetic words. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 21 says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So when people come to you with prophetic words, you test them. All right, so I need everybody to listen up really carefully right now. If you're looking at your phone, which I'm guilty of too, just set it down and give me your full attention for about 5 minutes. Because I'm going to share with you some prophetic words that I've received recently. And I want you to pay attention to this because I tried to think, is there any other way I could teach this message without sharing those tender parts of my heart, what God is telling me about the way he sees me? And there's not. Y'all know I am an open book before you. I have to be honest and vulnerable. But here's the thing. In doing that, I am entrusting you with something very precious and serious and important in my life. And so as I share this, it is not something I ever want to hear joked about. Really, I don't ever want to hear it mentioned again after today. So I'm entrusting you with this, that these are things God is speaking to me. I am testing them, trying to figure it out. It's a way he sees me, and I'm trying to grow into seeing myself that way. But it's not something that I want to be used as a joke or treated lightly. Pastor Terry, for many years, he taught us from a book called God's Generals. He taught us about generals of the faith. It's God's Generals by Robert Lairdon. And we learn about Charles Parham. He was the father of Pentecostalism. William Seymour from the Azusa Street Revival. Maria Woodworth Edder, which, gosh, I would love to be like her. You know, there are former generals like Derek Prince. There are current generals like Dutch Sheets. There are generals on international scales, national scales, generals in our city. And a general is just part of God's chain of command. Brian and I had a long talk over dinner last night about the structure of the military, and there's a chain of command, and there's always somebody ahead of you, and there's always somebody below you. And King Jesus is leading our army, and it's a chain of command. And even among these generals, you know, there's the 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, 2-star, the brigadier general, and on down. When I think of generals, I think of Elliot Tepper. Bruce, if you could put up, I think it's slide 21.2, which means I didn't get it in the right spot, so I had to had to make it fit. Slide 21.2 is Elliot Tepper. That's fine. He is our pastor in Spain. He's the pastor in Spain over Battelle Ministries. And if you've ever been to Battelle and in that church, when Elliot, when he just, gosh, I could feel the anointing just walking up here. When he walks up to the podium and all he has to do is this. And you just feel the spirit fall, right, Loretta? It is like you know he has walked into the room. And when he just says, Jesus, and you just feel the weight, because that man is a general. He has been serving for 40 years in the trenches, on the streets, in Spain, and around the world. And to me, he is a general of the faith. So I've received 5 prophetic words over the past 15 months. And it's about how God sees me functioning in his army. How God sees me, not how I see me, how God sees me. What God is saying about me. He's had to send 5 different people over 15 months to say these things to me. And God saw me as a pastor long before I began to walk in the role of a pastor and walk in that calling. I knew when I was 20 years old, 21 years old, that I was called to this ministry. I didn't pursue it until Pastor Tom encouraged me to. God saw me as a dynamic preacher long before I felt this way, long before I felt like I had anything to offer. God sees me as an anointed missionary, and I'm still coming to grips seeing myself as that way. But 5 different people over 15 months from Costa Rica, Greenville, South Carolina, Lincolnton, North Carolina, and Guatemala and Wilmington have used the word general when they've spoken to me. 3 times in the last 6 weeks, I've heard this word. I was at Pastor Michael Thornton's church May 30th and 31st, and a young lady that sees the armies of angels. She said, there are armies of angels behind you. And I'm like, who me? Like, who me? And I even vetted her. I went to Amber Thornton and I was like, tell me about this lady. She's like, no, she does not do that very often. Then the following week when I preached here, the last time I preached, afterwards a young lady, you know, sometimes people come to Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach on vacation, they'll come here for church. I'd never seen her before. And we sit down on this front row and she looks at me. And so this is after 3 people had said general and angels. She looks me in the face and she says, you know you're a general, right? And I'm like, who, me? Huh? I was floored. And both of these people, Bruce, can you find, there's a slide number 21.4. Do you have that one? I had these people put it in writing. There it is. At the top, you know you are a general. Like I had her write it. I got her number, write it down, because I had to see that. And I carry it around in my Bible. Let's see where it is. Maybe it's left on my Bible. There it is. Here it is, along with different verses about the armies of angels that I've been studying. Because that's the kind of thing, you don't believe it, you know, you don't see yourself that way. Intelligent, yeah. I've got a little bit of intelligence. Organized, yes. I'm very organized. A gifted communicator, yes. But general, like, no way. No way. Even when I was in Guatemala, in Spanish, a woman told me, when you came to Guatemala, the army of angels came with you. And I'm like, who, me? You know, them, right? Who, me? It just blows my mind. And that's why it took 5 different people over 15 months to tell me the way God sees me functioning in his army. It is not how I feel. Don't ever joke with me with that word, general, please. That's my solemn request, okay? It is not a joke. I do not share it because I'm asking you to refer to me that way. If I ever hear it from your mouth, then I'll know that you did not listen to my solemn request and take it seriously, okay? All right. Y'all can go back to doing whatever you want now that you've heard the solemn request. The truth is, God is always teaching us. He is always growing us. He is always pulling us higher than where we've been. He is always making us more like Jesus. And there comes a time when he will commission us. And the lady that told me she saw the angels with me, like I sent her pictures of the sticky notes of my wall on my wall where I knew God had commissioned me, where I asked God for a militant spirit, because these are things God has been doing in me over a year and a half to learn how to walk in authority. And you yourselves know what God has put in your heart to do. You might know what your calling is for this season in God's kingdom. You might know what the role is that you serve right now in this season in God's kingdom. To see a need is to feel the call. And for me, for some reason, I am really called, well, I know why, to South American nations, to Spanish-speaking nations, because there is a patriarchal culture there where I can minister and I can raise them up in a way I can't do here. Like if I get on my, there, they see, you know, the common people, and then there's the pastors, and then there's the doctors and the lawyers. Many of you might know my husband has a doctorate. And one time we had a neighbor, she was older, and one time I would drive her around and take her places. I think I was 29, she was 87. She was three times my age. And one time we were driving home to her house, and she sees my husband cutting her grass. And she's like, the doctor's cutting my grass. Because for her, you know, my husband is way up here, and she was just a lowly peon. And so for me, when I can go to a Spanish-speaking culture and I minister to women who have been abused physically and mentally and emotionally and sexually, and I can get on my knees and I can say, I honor you in the name of Jesus. I respect you in the name of Jesus. La pastora en lo más alto iglesia, the pastor from the United States in the church of the Most High God, I honor you. I bless you. There is a power right there on my knees in the trenches that I can raise people up that here, like if I got my knees in front of you and just said I honor you, she'd be like, she crazy. Because here pastors aren't revered, but there, a pastor. It's like if the King of England walked in and said, hey, you're my friend. But when I can just hold them and touch them and honor them, raise them up, cut them free from shame, cut them free from all of that stuff that tells them they're not enough, there is a power and there is a calling there. And often we don't have the confidence to step into that calling and be who God sees, who God says we are. Because God sees who we are long before we ourselves see. Okay, God sees who we are long before we can see who we are and begin to walk in that role. The thing God is calling me to is calling me to walk in a role, to serve in a role. And when God uses the word general about me, that chain of command, it's not that I'm the general on the hill. I'm a general in the trenches. And that is why my message today is called Lessons from the Dirt. It's called Lessons from the Dirt. You know, there's a training period. God sends people to remind us and encourage us. Miss Maxine, that's sitting in the back, probably about a year ago in the cafe, she just says, you are a powerful woman of God. And I'm like, who, me? Because I don't feel that way on the inside. I see all the struggles. I see that this week I stood up my appointment for my oil change. I made two mistakes writing checks. Like I gave a friend of mine a check, and instead of writing the amount, I wrote the date again. And then yesterday I found my keys, which have been lost for a whole month. So this is what I'm working with. This is the material I'm working with. And for you, you might see your own weaknesses and struggles and say, who, me? But what is our response when God speaks something over us, when he puts something in our heart to do that is beyond what we're able to do in our own physical strength? What is our response when he's calling us to walk in greater faith, greater authority, greater anointing, greater skill, greater influence, greater leadership? And this is in a spiritual level. It could be in your workplace. What is our response? Our human carnal response is just to get puffed up with pride. Just say, oh yeah, that feels good, Lord. Tell me some good things about me. But in everything, Jesus is our example. Matthew 11:29, and this is in the NIV. It says, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So there's been a theme already today of humility. And Jesus is our ultimate example of humility. He said, I am gentle. I am gentle and humble. That is our example. He was the Son of God. He was a Holy Spirit-filled miracle worker. If anybody could be prideful, it was Jesus. But he says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. We don't have time to really study this today, but in Philippians 2, there's a passage, it's called the Christ hymn. And in verse 6, it talks about Jesus, Philippians 2:6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus was God, but he took the form of a servant. And that's what the word minister really means. It means to serve. If you are a minister, you are in a position of servitude. So we're to imitate the humility of Jesus. And we're going to look today at what that looks like. For me, the first thing was being teachable and learning from others. Pat and I have a friend, many of you know him. His name is Rick Stoker. And I look up to him. He's like an older brother in the faith. And I was over at his house, sitting on his front porch, and I was asking him, like, what does this mean? Like, I don't even know. What does this mean, general? I have no idea what it means. So walking in humility is being teachable and going to others and learning from them. And especially if they've walked with the Lord longer than you and have more wisdom, it's putting yourself at their feet and saying, hey, I want to learn from you because I don't have all of this down. When we're arrogant, we will say, I don't have anything to learn from you. But humility says, I want a teachable spirit. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. So it's being teachable. Another response to God's calling is seeing your identity as God sees it. Okay, so during this time as I was growing and learning, I've got like this new move. When I'm walking and when I'm worshiping and praying, I don't know what it means, but there's like this new move when I'm worshiping. And for me, walking in this identity, this whatever it is, general, I prayed a whole lot more. On that Guatemala mission trip, when everybody was standing around, I was over at the wall. Come, Holy Spirit, come. God, perform your word. I was praying a whole lot more. To walk in your calling, you're going to be praying a whole lot more. I was worshiping a whole lot more. I engaged in spiritual warfare a whole lot more. When we were at that tent, we had this guy come into the tent, and he was dressed like John the Baptist, and he was just up there shouting, like we're praying, and he's up there shouting and shouting and shouting and drawing attention to himself, and he was disrupting what we were doing. And our leaders, who had reserved the tent, paid for the tent, it was our tent, they were in authority at the tent, politely asked him to leave, and he was almost violent. And so I was over there, you know, one of the structures holding up the tent, and it was elevated, and I was standing up, in the name of Jesus, I bind this and I bind that, and I just went to war, because I am learning to see myself the way God sees me. I'm praying more, I'm worshiping more, I'm engaging more in spiritual warfare, I'm caring less about what people think. There was a whole lot more abandoned worship. I was more reckless in my faith. Now that is a whole sermon right there, to have a reckless faith. I was more reckless and my faith. And I'm learning how to ask God for more. Let me tell you, one of my professors from Regent University, I'll mention her at the end, but she encouraged me, because I went to her and I'm like, okay, I don't understand this. She understood it, because she also had been called a general, and she's a good bit older than me. Where was I going? Oh, but she told me to ask God for big. She said, don't be afraid to ask God for big things. Y'all want to know what my big thing is? I've asked God for a big thing. You want to know what it is? I want 3 men on that mission trip to Colombia. I've asked for 12 people, and I want 3 men. Ask God for big things. For me, that was big. For me, that was big. But ask God for big things. Have a reckless faith. And this is probably going to be my next sermon, but she talked about how Peter was, there were all those disciples in the boat, but only one got out and walked on water. Ask God for big things. Have a reckless faith. So it was learning to walk in confidence and courage and just to test out my wings. Okay, I'm gonna see how this feels. I'm gonna fly, I'm gonna do this. God, if you've really got my back, Lord, lead me and show me and use me. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know, maybe these prophetic words were supposed to just spur me into doing what I should have already been doing. To just stand in that authority as a daughter of the Most High God. And to say, God, send your angels, send your ministering spirits to perform your word. To stand and to worship and to pray and to ask and to believe and to be reckless and to get out of the stinking boat and walk on the water. That is what God is teaching me and calling me to do. But you have to be willing to pay the cost. There are a lot of people that want to stand on the platform but aren't interested in paying the cost. There's a cost. In John 12:24, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When I went to see my friend Rick Stoker and we were sitting on his front porch, he looked at me and he said, you know I love you, don't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, this is going to hurt. He had tears in his eyes and he looked at me and he said, this is going to hurt. And he's a prophetic person. And then he said, it's going to cost you a pound of flesh. A pound of flesh. This is going to cost you a pound of flesh. There is a cost when God calls us. You know, we want that first prophetic word that says we're this great thing in God's kingdom, but we don't want that second one that says there's a cost with it. There's a cost that goes with it. This is not a game. This is not a war. And to enter the war, you have to be willing to pay the cost. And for Brian and me, we're paying the costs. I came back from Guatemala sick. Then I gave it to Brian. Now he's on antibiotics. So worth it, though. The souls that were saved, the people that were set free, the physical healings, to connect with these pastors, for me to honor them and raise them up. It's worth it. There's no greater reward than to watch God move in the earth. That is worth it. And y'all, I'm like a volunteer pastor. Like, I don't even get paid. But it is so worth it. Thank God I had a friend that paid for my mission trip to Guatemala. So that was a real big blessing. Another part of learning to walk in that calling is not getting bigger than your britches, as we say in the South. It means to stay humble. Walking in humility involves submission to authority. Bruce, if you can pull up that picture, it was in the coffee shop, I think. It should say maybe Coffee 23. So I've traveled in Costa Rica, but you can just leave so y'all can see that. This is a picture of me alone praise the Lord in the coffee shop. Okay, that's good. Thank you. I have traveled to Costa Rica by myself twice. I am very comfortable being in another country, being by myself, arranging transportation, buying food, doing my Airbnb. Very comfortable. But here they said, you can't go anywhere unless somebody's with you. Ooh. And I knew I had to preach at the end of the week, and for me, I needed some time alone. And so I went to those in authority, and I said, can I just please walk to the coffee shop? And they said, yes. So I walked to the coffee shop. When I'm in the coffee shop, I sent them my location, shared my location on WhatsApp. When I was leaving, I said, I'm going back. When I got back, I messaged them, I'm back. If I went somewhere else, I would tell them I was under authority. Even though God has spoken this great thing, I am a woman under authority. We as a ministry team there in Guatemala, we were under authority. There was a church that we went to, and they believed women, when they minister, should wear veils. And Pastor Tim gave us the option. He gave the women on the team the option. He says, look, you know, if this goes against your convictions and you don't want to wear a veil and you want to stay back, that's fine. But five of us, we're like, okay, we're good with the veil. So I was under their authority. When we go to another country, we are under that ministry's authority. If they say yes, we say yes. If they say no, we say no. Doesn't matter who we are or who we think we are or what titles are before our name. We are under authority. And that is what you do when you walk in humility. Not that I've mastered it. For sure. There's one picture, number 24, Bruce, if you can put that up. So this is our team. This is the evening of the youth conference. And we all had our t-shirts on that said love, and that's Pastor Tim beside me in the middle. And so the conference was supposed to start, I think it was 5:30, and we probably started worship at 7. You know, everything is slow in Central and South America. Everything is behind. There is no rush, no aprisa, no rush. And so worship went on, and it was about 9 o'clock, and I still hadn't spoken, but there was ministry and altar calls, and Pastor Tim came to me like Pastor Tom has come before and was like, okay, it's getting late. What do you think we should do? And I just said, I don't have to preach. If Holy Spirit wants to move, I don't have to preach. And that is part of walking in humility and authority. It is not about me. It is not about Lisa went to Guatemala and preached in Spanish. It is about, Lord, what do you want to do? I've prepared. I've put in this time. I've taken a shower and blown dry my hair. But Lord, what do you want to do? So it's being selfless. And this is what the Holy Spirit told me. While I was there, he just said, I was on my knees and we had some prayer time there in the hotel. And he just said, get used to the dirt. Get used to the dirt. And these are my favorite jeans. They're nice and worn in. And I tell you what, I was on my knees so much, I was afraid I was going to wear holes in them. These things were filthy. Because the Lord was teaching me, the word humble means to be made low. He was teaching me about humility. Get used to the dirt. And we won't go there for time, but in John chapter 8, with the woman caught in adultery, you know, Jesus got down on the ground and rode in the dirt. You know, Jesus served in the trenches with the broken people there in the dirt. He wasn't afraid of getting down in the dirt. Walking in humility involves being willing to be embarrassed by God. You know, I could identify with some of the things Alicia was sharing. I feel like I'm popping here. That sometimes the Lord will move in our lives in an embarrassing way that people don't understand. I can shake a lot. I can fall down a lot. And now I've got my new move. You know, I've got my new move. I'm like, Lord, what is this? I don't know what this means. But boy, we are fanning that flame. Fanning to flame the gift of God in your life. Now when I come up to y'all and start doing that, that's a bit much. But Lord, if you want me to, I'm willing. We have to be willing to be embarrassed by God. Walking in our calling, stepping out in faith, there comes a point where God's gonna put it to the test. Okay, let's put this to the test. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Bruce, can you find picture number 25? It's a construction scene. What we did in Guatemala was we went to churches and we ministered in 4 different churches. We ministered to pastors and their families. We spent time with them. The church that was so full, thank God they're building a bigger church. And it's okay if you can't find it. So we were there praying over Pastor Ubi in this new building. It's a construction zone. And Megan, the girl that shared the Columbia promo, she's a very prophetic person. And she prophesied over Pastor Ubi, "You are a general." And I'm like, "Huh? Oh, I know that word." Well, the Lord had me. This took all I had. But the Lord had me go up to her and lay my hands on her. And I said, "As a general, I commission you a general." And then after that, I was on my knees in the construction zone, in the dirt. Because if you're going to stand and say something like, "As a general," it better be followed with some humility. And for me, I was spent the rest of the day. It took everything out of me to publicly stand and say that. Because it goes against the grain of you know, giving yourself a title. And we don't want to give ourselves titles, and your gift will make room for you. And don't think higher than yourselves than you ought to. But I knew the Lord had put me in a role, and I was in Guatemala walking in that role. I'm not the general on the hill. I'm the general in the trenches, in the dirt, serving and helping. There we are. And that piece of sheet metal right there, that was the cleanest thing around, because that was all concrete and, you know, building materials. And that's, you can see my water bottle. That's where I got on my knees. It was the safest place for being on your knees. Get used to the dirt. That was hard. So sometimes we have to take that step of faith and say, "Okay, Lord, if this is what you've sent all these people to say, I am serving in this role, well, let me just take that step of faith and try it out." And I was, like, I told the leaders later, I'm like, "Look, you know, you correct me if you need to. I'm just trying to walk out." I told them up front what God was speaking to me. "I'm learning how to walk this out. Correct me if you need to." There's a scripture that I really like. You know, what this is on your handout. Walking in humility involves being nameless and faceless. We're not promoting ourselves or our ministry. We're privileged to serve where God has called us to serve, and we don't need to announce our position to gain the respect of others. Isaiah 66:2, the second half, it says, "This is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." And that is who I want to be, humble and contrite in spirit, but I fear his word. I tremble at his word. A friend of mine said that she sees me walking in a quiet confidence. I want to walk in a confident humility. I want to walk in a confidence of, "Okay, God, this is what you're doing in my life and what you're speaking to me, how you want me to function in this season in the trenches." But at the same time, realizing it is not me. There is nothing good in me. If there was some Miss Addie's fried chicken, actually I did this at the cookout last week. I think Jim was there serving. Like, there was one cheeseburger left. I'm like, "I want that." Like, if there's the last piece of Miss Addie's fried chicken and you're in line behind me, Ron, I'm gonna take that piece of chicken. Because I am just as human as anybody else, struggling with selfishness and pride, insecurity, inferiority, doubt, all of those things, all mixed up in 1 4-foot-10 woman that's traveling the world. Luke 14:11 says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And this is the last point on your outline. Walking in humility requires accountability. And it may have been the same day that I commissioned the general. But while I was there, I set an appointment with my professor at Regent. Because she'll ask me, how are you feeding your flesh? How are you feeding your spirit? How are you feeding others? So walking in your calling and walking in humility requires accountability to others. I'm accountable, like the whole thing I'm doing here today, like Pastor Tom is my authority. I am just here doing what he's asked me to do. I am under authority. There is accountability. There's a structure there. I am not just out there all on my own. And so there's a safety too, walking in accountability and walking under authority, walking in submission. And there's a freedom there too. And I just praise God that here at Global River, there's some freedom to grow and learn and to make mistakes and to have the grace to be asked to do it again. That's what I always say. If Pastor Tom didn't like my sermon, I just won't be asked to do it again. But praise God, for 8 years, I've been asked to do it again. But there are times I've done things very badly, and I've had to own up to that and just take responsibility for my own areas of learning, areas where I'm learning. And then right now I have no idea what I'm doing, so I'm going to just stop and pray. Can y'all put on some music in the background? And Brian, can you move this table? One of my friends says, y'all have to watch out when I take my shoes off. That's when the wild woman shows up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this day. If y'all stand up with me, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you that we are part of your army. I thank you, Lord, that we are each playing our role, God. I thank you that you have put each one of us where you want us. And God, I just declare over your sons and over your daughters who you say they are. God, I come into agreement with what you are already speaking to them, what you have been saying to them. God, I come into agreement. And God, I see them the way you see them. I see them with your eyes, God. I see them as people of influence. God, people that change atmospheres, people that walk into a room and bring peace. I see peacemakers. I see freedom bringers. I see those that are establishing your justice in the earth. God, I see those that are serving the hungry. I see those that are hungry for you. God, I see sons and I see daughters. And God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you send people to encourage us and to speak over us what we are, God, when we don't see ourselves that way. So I just want to invite you, if there's something that the Lord has been speaking to you, maybe it's a name or a position or an area of influence where he's been speaking to you and you are struggling to walk in that, I just want to invite you to come. Just like, you can get out of the boat and come up front if you want to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because he calls us, he trains us, he equips us, he encourages us, and there are times where he commissions us. Thank you, Lord. And I want to invite the ministry team to come up as well. Were you coming up for my first altar call?
Yes.
Can you come stand with them? Because I'm going to pray over y'all. So I'm going to pray a closing prayer, and then I'm going to pray for these that have come up. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that Jesus made us even worthy that we could come into your presence. I thank you that the blood of Jesus paid for all of our sin, paid for all of our failures, paid for all of our inadequacies. I thank you, God, that you see us as who we really are. God, you see the Holy Spirit living within us, empowering us and enabling us to walk the way, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every respect. I thank you, Lord, that you enable us to walk in that calling. God, I just pray a blessing over each one here, God, and I pray that you would help us all to walk in humility, God, to just see Jesus as our example, to step out in faith and test you, Lord, to be teachable, to be accountable to others, to be under authority, to be under submission. God, would you enable us to do those things? I just ask you to do these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So don't forget about the Columbia Interest Meeting in just a few minutes, and then Kingdom Women. And thank you very much. God bless you all.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.